Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bishop.
Braden Holtby!
Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. I am your host, the Blue Liner on Point, coming to you live to tape from Glenbury, Maryland. And with me as always, well, you know her. She's the Mermaid Mentalist, Fairfax's finest. And if my mouth would stop dropping, I would find other alliterative ways to describe her. Without landing in jail, but you know her as Anna Knox.
Yep, Anna Knox. I'm here from Centerville. Thank God it's Friday, but ready to talk about Capitals hockey.
Yes, we're coming to you with a very special edition.
Yeah. I don't think we've done a Friday night podcast.
Well, that's because you and I both, separately, of course, find other ways to spend Friday nights.
That's true. That's
Which we won't talk about here.
We could.
We could, but we won't.
But we won't. But we could.
Well, we could. If we either wanted to scare our listening audience.
Lose maybe. Followers.
Maybe, yeah.
No, it's all good. But no, usually Friday nights are, you know, it just doesn't work out. And we are kind of falling into the Monday night, Tuesday night thing. So we're in the Stanley Cup Finals, and we're going to do a Friday night show.
I have to correct you.
What?
You said finals.
Sorry. You're right. You're right. Thank you.
It's one Stanley series. Cup.
Final.
So it's a final.
Thank you for correcting the teacher.
Just like...
Not plural, just one. Yes.
Oh, boy. Uh-huh. Oh, my goodness. Really awful thought just came and went through my head. I'm not going to mention it, but yeah.
You kind of have to now that you put it out there.
Correcting the teacher?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all, yeah.
That's all.
That's a guy thing, but all right.
Yeah, it's very much a guy thing.
It's like a rule. Just kidding.
Yeah.
I feel like right now at this point would be that time that you're like, you know what? What would be a great song? Oh yeah, what is that? Van Halen, Hot for Teacher. Mm-hmm. Interject that song now. Anyways, go on. Let's talk hockey.
Wow. So guess who's calling me?
I'm hoping it's Mrs. Blue Liner.
It is not. It's Bernie. Hey, Bernie.
You know, I still have time for the little people.
I'll bet you do.
I saw your comment. I died. I was rolling.
hey, Bernie. You actually caught us. You actually caught us in the middle of recording. We're doing a special. Yeah. Really, we're doing a quickie, as it were.
Hi, Bernie.
Cover games 1 and 2. Anna says hi.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know if I got you on speaker right now. I don't know if it's capturing you, but.
You think you'd come out because surprise? I'm on the Power Play fight.
Close enough.
What do you want? Gil, it's up to you. What do you want to do? Okay. I can hang up and you guys can chat and then I'll call them later.
No. Stay with us. Stay with us, Anna.
Okay.
Anna.
Sorry, go ahead.
Bernie.
Go ahead, Bernie.
Hello, Anna.
Hello, Bernie.
Gil. Surprise.
Big surprise. Thank you so much for calling in.
Anna says it's a nice big surprise, and thanks you for calling in.
wonderful time of year. Lord Stanley's Holy Grail, two teams, one goal.
Heck yeah.
That's it. All right, Gil, you two talk. I'll chime in a little bit.
I apologize ahead of time.
Hey, no problem. No problem. I haven't had a chance to sit through the whole appearance on BGR, but yeah, congrats on that.
Absolutely. I definitely got a nice surprise this morning. I actually threw it out there a couple weeks ago to the guy, and he never got back to me when I was actually off. I could have gotten back to the studio, the old stomping grounds, but he was cool enough to call me. So while I'm doing my day job, I'm talking hockey on a radio show. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. And but
that's awesome.
Yeah, totally awesome. Great to hear you again. Okay, so yeah, love to get your thoughts real quick on games 1 and 2, and maybe a preview of 3, if you've got it.
All right. Well, I mean, we got what we got from the Vegas Golden Knights, not with a ton of speed. This is a whole new animal to the NHL. I mean, you have 4 second lines practically, and when the Capitals were moving the puck, and we talked about this on your Facebook Lives and different things, they're a whole different team. And after the, I'll skip ahead to game 2, after the James Neal goal, this team hit that switch like they did in the Pittsburgh series and in the Tampa Bay series. They hit everything. It was like scorched earth. And when Kuznetsov went down, it became scorched earth on an insane addition. I mean, every guy got hit. Ovi was hitting people. Wilson was hitting people. Ella was hitting people. Orpik was devouring people. And when this team is hitting and skating, it's a very difficult team to beat. But they have to keep skating, and they have to keep hitting, and just keep putting pucks on net. They found something in Fleury. I mean, they've seen him enough. I mean, he should have a good book on him, and eventually the dam was going to break. He wasn't going to save 97% of the shots the whole playoffs. So I like our chances in game 3. I said caps and 6 from the onset. I just like that this home ice advantage tomorrow night is going to be like none other the Caps have had in probably a couple seasons, because there isn't going to be no angst, even if, God forbid, Vegas scores the first goal tomorrow night. It's going to be a zoo on 7th and F tomorrow night.
Oh, most definitely. So, okay, so you talk about the home ice advantage. Are you liking the fact that Trotz gets last line change in next 2 games?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a difficult proposition against a team that doesn't that just really wants to throw 4 lines at you and just keep throwing them at you. But it all depends on what kind of matchup he wants with against that 4th line with Reeves and Belmar and Nosek, and they started poking holes into these lines. It's just it's about just hitting these guys. They're all good players, but aside from James Neal, no one's really experienced this Stanley Cup Finals, or at least with the Capitals, a lot of these guys have been through big games, even if it's been in the second round in Game 7. I mean, what is it, 12 straight series? The Caps have at least won 6 games, so battle-tested a lot of these guys are, even if it hasn't been on the biggest stage like it is right now with the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, guys like Marchessault and Riley Smith, they were drowning in Florida and Tampa Bay, I mean, when they weren't going to the finals and everything. So this team's definitely got some growing to do, but in the first season, Vegas being in the finals is should be a dream come true for those fans up there. As they say, when you're at the tables, they are definitely playing with house money.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely
so. I agree. To kind of add to your point a little bit, I think you're pretty much there, but I just want to spell it out. The longer the series goes, the more that definitely favors the Capitals, because obviously they have the physical edge over this team. Winnipeg had the speed and the size, but I don't think they really challenged them with it in their conference final. So this is not something Vegas seems to be used to.
And also, we've talked about it in every series going on. One of my big points going into each and every one of these series is no one has seen a first line like the Capitals can throw at you with 2 Sherman tanks on either side of a Wizard. And all of them are 6'2 and above. Kuzi's the slowest one of the bunch, which is crazy. And then you got the Russian machine on one side and the Wilsonator on the other side. And if the right one don't get you, the left one will. And after they lay the bodies out, Kuzi has all day to play. And the key with that line, provided Kuzi plays tomorrow night, which he looked pretty good in practice today, is skate. When he glides, he gets himself in trouble. When he takes that extra stride or two, that's when he goes from good to great. If he would even mask what Connor McDavid does with his skating, he would be right there on Connor McDavid's heels every year in the scoring race. And he's a worldly talent that's only starting to get the grasp of how this game is going. But also, the other point that I think Anna and Gil, you both made, as well as some of our esteemed colleagues, like the Vivek brothers and my brother, is name me a team that has a center ice depth like the Washington Capitals. After all these years that they've played teams that have had Crosby, Malkin, Bonino, and these other teams, with like the Rangers had their center depth. You can go Kuzi, Backstrom, Eller, Beagle, and then you can flip Stevenson in when Kuzi or Backstrom go down. That's impressive depth.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. We both agree, and that may have been one of the key differences, other than, you know, getting over this mental block, obviously, in this long playoff, you know, for once a long playoff run for this year. But yeah, that's a great astute point, as always, Bernie, to that you put out there, that the center depth has been so strong and so key all playoffs long for this team.
Absolutely. And what do they talk about when the playoffs? You need center ice depth, you need strong D that isn't going to put you in bad position, and you need a rock in the net. And right now you've got a serious rock in the net, and you've got D that are playing their roles. Now, even though Warpick went up in 19 minutes the other night, all the places I've gone with 106.7, whether it was on the radio show this morning, this afternoon, one thing I've been putting out there is I was a little displeased with Orpik, but when he's playing 20 to 23 to 24 minutes, you're getting fumes in the third period, especially when he's coming out every other shift with Carlson early in the season. A 14 to 17 minute Brooks Orpik is a pain in the rear end to anyone who plays him, and you are seeing it in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, as long as you're absolutely right again, and as long as they can manage his minutes that way, and they continue to do so, and with last line change, that'll be an even greater advantage. So, yes, as long as they can keep him down to that, he'll be a lot fresher down the stretch in late games where he's going to be needed the most. They're a little bit more prone, I find, to penalties later in games, so and he's a key cog in that on the PK units, so keeping his minutes down is going to be key, and all the more reason again to stay out of the box as long as they can keep it that way. All right.
Actually, I have a question for both of you.
Okay, so Anna's gonna. I don't know if you can hear, but Anna's gonna put something out there for the both of us, as far as a question.
Okay. Go ahead. Too much, but we'll see.
So my question is right now, well, since Gil and I started this season together, we have really emphasized chemistry within, you know, the team and how they all kind of look out for each other. They step up for each other. They fight for each other, whatever it is. And I'm wondering if that is going to be the strength towards the end of this final versus Vegas, who is just these players that haven't played together, beyond just this one season.
Okay, so basically Anna's asking who really has the edge as far as chemistry between our side and Vegas. Now Vegas has obviously come together in the last few months, but you've got guys like Wilson who has actually been on this team for a while. You've got a core group that has been together a while. So my answer to that question is yes. I do think we have the edge as far as chemistry. What do you think, Bernie?
Well, I think with chemistry from a long-term proposition, definitely. Sorry, I'm outside someone's weed whacking. behind me, so if that comes up on the podcast,
you're fine.
All good to the gardener down the street, but I'll give him yeast mode when we hang up. with chemistry is concerned, what Gerard Gallant has done so brilliantly with this team in Vegas this year is he's kept guys together. He's kept Marchessault with Riley Smith and William Karlsson, and they've built that chemistry where you can see where they're passing the puck into spaces. When you have guys on lines practically passing it into space where they know the other guy's going to be, you can see how chemistry builds throughout the season, and it's credit to Gallant keeping guys in similar spots all throughout the season because they know this is a process. Anything they come to the playoffs is gravy. With the Capitals, I mean, as soon as Barry Trotz locked in that we got to get Tom Wilson up to the first line, Kuzi and Ovi and Wilson took off. I loved it when they put him up there with Backstrom and Ovi. It had a nice little spark at the beginning last year, and then it tailed off a little bit because they kept bouncing Wilson all over the place like a ping pong ball. You got to keep these guys. He was a first round pick, 5 picks after Phil Forsberg, for goodness sake. So the guy has scored goals in the past, not just thrown fists and knocked people's heads into the middle of next week. But the chemistry factor, having guys being able to play with each other this year and in years past is definitely helping this team as it gets further into the Stanley Cup final. Barry Trotz's familiarity with where he can place a Lars Eller. Even guys, the young guys like Braun and Stevenson being in the developmental camps and being in the preseason camps and stuff like that. And there's one telling little thing. I always go to little things about chemistry and wanting to learn more. Right before Game 5 against the Pittsburgh Penguins, they had an optical practice where I was attending with Chris Russell. We're looking at the ice, and there's maybe 3 or 4 guys on the ice that were in the lineup the previous night when they lost. One of them was Jacob Brana because he knew he was going to have a bigger role possibly playing on the right side. He was working with Ty Reardon and Lane Lambert and Blaine Forsythe on chip-outs on the off wing, on passes and breakouts on the off wing. He was working with a lot of the Black Aces, but the little things like that develop, and then you can jump in to play with Kuzi and Ovi, and you saw what happened in the third period of Game 5 that night. It was magical, and it's just between the little things that they emphasize and tweak throughout the season, it just enhances the chemistry that already exists with this team being as tight as it is.
Oh,
yeah. Absolutely. Oh, that magical stuff there, Bernie. Great, great spot-on observations. And wow, and this is what, see, look, this is why I've been after you to come on with us, because because only a guy like you with your eye can provide that kind of detail, and that I'm sure a lot of our fan base has been after. You know, we cover.
He shot a puck at me that day too. I left that part out. I laughed back at him, so I'm a little bond with Jake now. But that's besides the point. Continue, Kill. It is National Donut Day. I should have gotten you a donut for the occasion.
Yeah, it's fine.
Boy.
It's fine.
Please don't.
Well, we'll save that for the end of the series for sure.
A grandiose pleasure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Unlike any other.
Great stuff. All right. Yeah, wonderful stuff. Bernie, I really appreciate your dropping in on us. We got a couple bits to cover, but really great information. Going to let you go here, finish things out here, but really do appreciate your calling in. Anna says thank you so much.
Hey, Gil and Anna, seriously, you guys have been assets to the True Paps fans group that one of many great admins on, and it's great to see a podcast actually take the time to have a little fun, but also be very astute with what they want to cover about the Caps. I was on a radio show for 8 months, and the guy talked about being true serious hockey talk for serious hockey fans, and it was all over the map talking about his ball hockey league team and all that stuff. I'm like, really, dude? We're talking Caps hockey. Let's go beside hide the insight. You know, you want the predictions. I want to leave past, present. I am blessed to be able to do the podcast. The only thing that I have a question is, does Lars Eller have just a slight regret signing that beautiful contract that's going to help us capitalize for next 5 years?
Oh, good question. Well, I've been trying not to think about even the immediate future, just the now. But you know, right now, that contract is paying itself off in spades.
Especially since he was going to be an unrestricted agent at year's end. So, as much as I bash Brian McClellan at times, you want to talk about the ultimate hat tip. That was it right there. But as much as I'd like to say a worldly amount of information, I'm going to do the tat tip to you two fine people and take your amazing podcast home for another great evening. I look forward to catching up with you guys shortly.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the kind words. Thank you for dropping in. And Bernie, as always, keep up the great work. We'll see you in the True Caps fans room and on BGR when they are smart enough to keep you on. And, of course, 106.7 when they have you on as a call-in guest and everywhere else we can find you. You're an absolute gem.
For stalking. You never know where I'll jump out next. Maybe it'll be on out of the birthday cake.
We'll find you.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. Thanks for dropping in. Take care. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen,
that totally made my night.
That was mine too. I was not expecting that at all, but that was the voice of Bernie Diehl. And for those of you not listening, I would say he is an Uber Caps fan. And that is probably the only way I can describe him. If you are not familiar with his work, do please...
You're missing
out. You are missing out. Do please drop in on the True Caps Fans Facebook room. He makes very, very keen observations, as only he can make, during games and, of course, analysis after games as well. He's a frequent guest on in many different places, as we just mentioned. Sports on the Hill is one. He's been there. WBGR True Caps Facebook room, and also he's also as he mentioned, a frequent call-in guest on the Chris Russell Show over at 106.7, the radio show there. So yeah, great stuff there. Great observation, and he's right. He laid out the assets and the keys. And I think one thing we didn't really talk about though is the fact that right now, and I think he would have pointed this out if he'd had more time, is the fact that right now the Caps seem to have the momentum. And right. One of the things that has propelled that momentum, if Anna and I can spend the next few minutes gushing over this, is a key moment in Game 2 where late in the third period, I don't have the time, I don't recall the time, but it was late in the third period where Vegas was threatening to tie. One Mr. Alex Tuck was threatening at the net. Had practically a wide open net, and outsprung the stick hand of one Braden Holtby to stop the puck, and not only stop it, but corral it all in one motion. And got to agree with Olaf Kolzig, greatest save in Caps history. Up until then, I would say the most memorable save I had seen in all my years watching Caps hockey was in a similar run back in 98, where it was only in the conference final against the Sabres. There was that shot from the off wing, and Ole stretched out his uber long leg and got that shot, and that was in my mind the greatest. But no knock on Ole, but this topped that for sure.
Oh my God. It was something that I think the majority of the fans out there watching this were like a double take. I think Alex Ovechkin's facial expression was like the perfect moment. That captured how all of us were feeling, because oh my God, talk about the save of a lifetime. It was absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. I mean, it was, I just can't. I was so pumped. I was so, and I've seen picture after picture of, you know, aerial views and right up on the ice and everything. And what Holtby did was absolutely the best thing I have ever seen with goaltending for goaltending with the Caps. So, oh my God. And I just, you know, I hope that, no, I'm going to take it back. I don't hope that, you know, sticks with him, because he's such a humble player, and he's very intense, and he's very supportive of his teammates, that I think this happened. He's going to acknowledge it. It was absolutely kick-ass. It was absolutely beyond going to go down in history kind of thing. But he's ready to play, you know, game three tomorrow. And, you know, like, that was in Vegas, and now we're going to be home. Let's just keep the mindset and let, you know, that's it. Like, we don't need to, for him, I don't think we need to keep talking about it. And the people interviewing him don't need to keep asking him about it. It's like, he's not the kind of guy that wants to talk about, well, back in the day, or, hey, this last game. It's like, nope, moving forward. He is a moving forward kind of athlete.
Well, totally. But what more to your point, though, if there was any doubt as far as his confidence level, this, I think, knocked it out of the park for sure. You're going to see, and there was, because there was a bit of a question these last few games about his rebound control. You can't question his focus. You can't question his confidence. I don't think he is going to drop into any sort of funk. I think he's riding a wave of absolute confidence and glory and just total dominance. And just, wow. They keep talking about anybody with a microphone and an axe to grind against the Capitals has said Holtby needs to take it to another level. I think he's there, and scarier still, I think he has a little bit more to go. He can take it even higher if he has to, and there may be points in this series where he has to do that.
Right, and I think that we've talked about this before, and what I admire the most is, here is an athlete that everyone has, and including myself in the statement, put on a pedestal at the beginning of the season after last year on his skill level. And we were all I was concerned the beginning of the season that he was getting fatigued and he wasn't as quick, and it was becoming that mind Finland. How's that? And I feel like this was exactly what he needed to just say, I still got it in me. You know, for all those fans out there that might have doubted or given up or whatever it was, he was absolutely humble being benched, but although he supported Grubauer, and who can't admire that? But he came into this, he is focused, he is, you know, got that gross neck beard going and whatever. And he is exactly what the Capitals need at this moment. But I don't want him to be the focal point of the rest of the series, or the rest of the final, to be honest. I don't want it all to come down to Braden Holtby, because I think once we start talking about only him is when things start to fall apart. So I can't acknowledge him enough. He is a badass, and I wish I could say a whole bunch of F-bombs and whatnot, but I won't. But, you know, I'm thinking it. Amazing athlete, and what that save is going to go down in history, absolutely. But I want to see not Braden Holtby as the focus for the next couple of games, because I don't think that helps his mental state of mind, or however we want to say it, mojo, whatnot. if that makes sense to you.
It does some. I don't think it would affect him that much because, like you said, he's not one that absolutely has to have the limelight on him. He's a humble, ordinary guy. Likes to credit others, so I don't think anything like that will affect him. But I do kind of see what you're saying. So we'll close that topic there. On that.
But can I just say one quick thing?
Okay.
Just one quick thing, because I've told you that I work with some coworkers at my school who are diehard mm-hmm. Cavs fans, and my the music teacher at our school, Leah, is actually coming. She is having a shirt made, and I think that might have been delivered today. And it is the "You've Got This, Babe" quote. And
I think RMNB had those made. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, you know what? You know what? I'm sorry. You're right. Sorry. She bought that. That's right. She got that shirt from them, but she was going to have something else made about McPhee. But yeah, so she was so excited when we talked about it a couple. Then she was like, "Oh my god, I bought this shirt because how could you not?" And just that was his encouragement. How awesome was that? And I thought, you know what? There's very few people that are going to pull that quote off, and that you're just going to be like, "Oh yeah, it's Braden Holtby." You know, like that's him 100%. And I just freaking love it. So Leah, I can't wait to see your shirt.
I can't either, for that matter. Okay.
Yeah.
So, because Bernie did such a good job summarizing what happened, we're going to dispense with the recap of games 1 and 2. I mean, everybody saw what happened. Basically, game
right.
1, wide open, back and forth. I think everybody had a lot of rink rust. And the gist of game 2 was the Caps buckled down, played a more sound defensive game, played their game more like, and you know, I don't want to say eked out the win because they did everything right for the most part. But I mean, it was very close. But that's what it comes down to as far as what you need to know, what you need to take away from those first two things. So we're going to get on to our last topic, which is fan response that we got here. But before that, real quick, I want to make an acknowledgement of sorts here. I have been, it's not an apology by any means, but I have been critical of one Brooks Orpik in the past, but I made a Facebook post on the Power Play Point podcast page that his, in game 2, his goal was indeed the game-winning goal, and of course that made history. Why? Because that was the first ever win by a Washington Capitals team in the Stanley Cup Final Series.
Right.
And I just wanted to point that out because one of my new Twitter buddies, Washington Capitals Now put out a tweet that said, "Well, everybody's talking about the Brooks Orpik goal, but nobody's saying it's a game-winning goal." And I sent them a link to my Facebook posting, and they liked that. So just want to give credit where credit is due, and it was indeed the most unlikeliest of sources that got them ahead, but he did it, and I just want to put that out there.
He did, and I'm gonna just for a second piggyback on that I have thrown him kind of under the bus with you, with Carol, with everyone, you know, just not being super impressed with him, I don't know, this year, whatever it was. I don't know if it was the whole season, if it was the second half of the season, whatever it was. But I will say, Brooks Orpik, I apologize if I was a jerk to you on social media, because you proved yourself, and I hope you continue to kick ass for the rest of the final.
All right, and we will leave it at that. Okay, so did we have two or just the one fan?
You had a question and I had a comment.
Did you want to go
from
first?
A person.
Go ahead.
You, I don't care. Okay, so My first person to acknowledge tonight is the, I want to be sure, I hope I have this right, the woo-woo is all caps. Thank you so much for following on Twitter and listening on Podbean. And when I put out there, does anybody have any comments? Or are we ready for the game tomorrow? Whatever it was, this statement came out, and it was basically to start fast, score first, play discipline, fight for every puck, and don't get too excited at home. And I agree. I really could not agree more. I feel like there are so many things right with this statement that I just, like, you don't want to be repetitive, but it's like, why wouldn't you want to start fast? I feel like when they come out strong, you know, you don't want it to all be everything in the first period and we burn out in the third. But you want them to come out strong to say, we're here for the whole 60 minutes. Score first would be awesome. If they don't, it's not the end of the world. Play discipline, I agree, because I feel like we are going to step up the physical part of the game, which is kind of like what Bernie had said before, where you have the Wilsons, but you also have the Orpiks, you have the Ovechkin, you know, everybody else kind of stepping up their physical game across the board. So I think that's awesome. Fight for every puck. You know, I don't want to see, my opinion with this is I don't want to see any sloppy passes, and I don't want to see that trying too hard moment. And don't get too excited at home. I don't think our Caps do get too excited at home. I think sometimes it's or maybe they try too hard to impress the fans, and that's why we don't see, you know, whatever it is. But I feel like with this particular final, we are going to want to have that absolute Capital One, Rock the Red, insane fandom that we have out there. I think it's a little bit different than past games, to be honest. And hopefully it's not going to be as ridiculously dramatic opening ceremony as the Knights, but we don't have to get into that.
Well, okay, so it's funny you mentioned the Caps play at home. I just came across a tweet from Tarek El-Bashir in his interview with Brett Conley, and basically what Brett Conley said was that we don't need to, well, I'll direct quote it, we don't need to be making extra passes and being too cute. And so... And that's so telling, because I think if they keep their game simple, like they have been, then they'll have greater success. Now, I will say this much. Sometimes the extra passing is needed, because that's the way Fleury has been beaten, by getting him out of position, getting him so focused on whoever's handling the puck, he forgets who is on the other side. And that's, for the most part, mm-hmm. how he's been beaten in this series. So it might not hurt to dangle it, you know, that extra pass every now and then. Just don't make it a bad habit is what I would say.
I agree.
All right, so going to move on to the one that you dumped on me from Mr. Troy Ryder. I will just go ahead and read his message to us.
Not the first sentence, but everything else.
Yeah, you're right. I think I need to leave that out. okay. Hope all is well. If you can fit this in tonight, tonight being right now, today, June the 1st.
That's crazy.
Hockey in June. I like DC hockey in June.
No, stop.
How about you? Stop. Sorry, I can't help it. Fisher King. Fisher King is one of my favorite all-time movies. I can't help it. Okay, on to what. If you can fit this in tonight, really have been wondering since Kuzi's hit from last game, how are reviews on these hits generated, or how does the process start? I mean, obviously the refs seem to be taking more and more of a let them play attitude. But is it something that the coaches file after the game, or does the league have people watching that automatically review questionable hits? Thank you. Love you from Troy. So, okay, so to answer, okay, not to pawn off the answer, Troy, but you can find the answer, and I will provide some detail. So he's asking, basically he's asking, how does the league initiate, or how does the process get initiated where the league, specifically the Department of Player Safety, that is the body that reviews quote unquote questionable hits.
Right.
And what I was saying was, what I was about to say was that the answer, and I don't want to, again, I don't want to pawn it off, but the answer can be found at NHL.com. There is a section there dedicated to the Department of Player Safety. So the answers that to your question are there. I will go ahead and read some. I'm not going to just leave it to Ren. I will also include in the show description the link, the direct link to the FAQ page. What's so funny?
The FAQ.
That's what it's called, isn't it? It's spelled.
No.
That's how you say it. FAQ has always been FAQ.
Q. Right, or frequently asked questions for normal people.
If it were FUQ, it would be something else.
That would be something that I would be responding to. Or I probably own the rights to that name. Absolutely. But anyways, you know what? I will say this is where you are going to come in and show your expertise, because I honestly did not know how to answer Troy's question. So I look forward to what you have to offer.
Okay. So,
and I'm not being a jerk about it.
Okay. Well, so, right. So this again is from the FAQ page at
frequently asked questions.
NHL.com, yeah. Regarding Department of Player Safety. So, and you can also see the videos that they post there, just so you know. Okay, so there's one question I think relevant to Troy's query, and it's the fact that, some people might be wondering, does the fact that a penalty is or is not, was or was not called during the game itself, during the live game action, does that affect the whether or not a questionable play gets reviewed? And the answer is no, because there is a built-in rule that supplemental discipline may be assessed to any player regardless of whether or not the infraction was penalized by an on-ice official.
But what if it's obvious to the 10 million people who are watching the game and the two officials that are standing next to the net, with Fleury in the net and Reeves cross-checking Carlson, and nothing gets called? So it's like, so nothing gets called, and it's kind of after the fact. Is anything able to be called? Is something only able to be called when there is a physical injury?
Well, okay, so there's two points to explore there in your query.
Okay.
So, you know, you sell yourself short, Anna. That was a very keen observation, because it's gonna require me to stretch my mind out here a little bit. But part of that was, okay, so you're saying, can something be called basically after the fact, after the game is over, as far as a penalty that punishes the team with a power play or something like that? No. Once the game ends, the only thing that can possibly change is the scoring. Is who is credited with the scoring? That's the only thing that can possibly be changed. But as far as supplemental discipline, yes, it can be reviewed now. And that play you described, the Ryan Reeves cross-checking John Carlson, that led to the one goal, in game one, yes, that among anything else that goes on in the game is reviewable by Department of Player Safety. And if they deem that, hey, we need to look at this further because this was a dangerous play that may merit some additional scrutiny and perhaps discipline. So building on the first part that I just discussed, if they so choose, Department of Player Safety can haul a guy like Reeves onto the carpet and say, hey, look, this is what you did. Can you explain yourself? And they can explain to him, well, you violated XYZ rules. I think we're going to have to suspend you X amount of games. And that's what gets discussed in the hearing. So that goes along with the fact that so Troy asked basically, to get back to his question, does the coach file it? No, the coach does not file it. And just on a side tangent, I'm a little bit disappointed in Barry Trotz for kind of hinting at the fact that, or lobbying a little bit that the Kuznetsov injury should be looked at. It should be looked at, but it's not his place to say that. So I'm a tad bit disappointed in him because that makes him no better than the Penguins coach, who basically, you know, made like he was on a campaign stump and just said, hey, I want this to happen and I want that to happen and I'm going to raise your taxes. And I'm getting carried away here. but yeah, I don't think it's a coach's place to say that, but unfortunately he felt like he had to say that. I can understand that, but still.
Well, I guess, I mean, but honestly, like, as a frustrated Caps fan, you would hope that you would have someone either on the team or, you know, I don't even know, like, just somebody who's Caps-oriented to be like, no, I'm going to challenge this. And I understand you cannot challenge every play, and I don't know if you can challenge things if a goal has been scored, or if it is like, if it has to be physical or whatnot. But I feel like there's a couple of times during the last two games that things absolutely should have been challenged, quote unquote. And, you know, we don't have like the, you know, the football coaches on the sidelines. Like, we don't have a red flag to float, you know, like to throw down in the middle of the field. We don't have anything to throw down in the eyes to say, okay, wait, hold up, that was not okay. And so therefore the fans, and absolutely myself included, watching this live, are saying, wait, hold on, WTF on that call? How do you not do that? Is there not somebody that you can turn to and say, are you freaking kidding me? How is that not called? How is that not, you know, tripping and you know, like, I mean, please, we had a player who was literally put in the sin box for 2 minutes for the other player who punched himself in the face.
Right. No, I get what you're saying. And unfortunately, okay, for better or for worse, we're stuck with the human element and the recourse that we have is that there is a hierarchy, there is a structure, there is a supervisory team that constantly evaluates and the on-ice officials, and this is how they're picked for the playoffs and the various rounds. Only the best of the best survive into the rounds. And it may not seem like it now, but, I mean, supposedly, what we're supposed to have gotten are the guys, the crews that have been the best throughout the playoffs. And again, I totally agree. Now, the officiating has been awful. To be polite about it, it has been an absolute abomination. It has been awful. Any other A word you want to throw in there, it's easily been the worst I have ever seen in a Stanley Cup final. And that's not my Caps bias talking. It's damn near criminal how many calls they're missing. But the recourse is These officials are constantly evaluated. Notes are made. I don't know. I can't say within memory of anyone. I don't know if they have a structure where they're fined or anything like that. And if they do, it's certainly not public because the NHL jumps all over itself to protect the hell out of these guys. So they don't say anything public about them. But yeah, I mean, they do have their own supervisors to answer to, and I'm sure they get reviewed and they get told, hey, you missed this call. Why'd you miss this call? And
but I don't even think. But the unfortunate part is, it wasn't just a call. It wasn't just one call. It wasn't just one cross-checking call on Carlson. I saw numerous times in which I felt like there was referee interference, and the fact that they're standing there, and you know, they're in the way of the puck and they're trying to get out of the way, or you know, the puck cuts out, you know, it comes at them and they hit it with their skate. It just seemed like it was a little, you know,
I'm pretty sure I saw Bernie make a comment about this during one of the games, that, you know, I think the game is starting to become a little too fast for these guys. And I mean, it's probably a long, long, long ways down the road, but it may be time to consider, I don't know, something more automated. But, you know, to that point you just made, yeah, it may be, you know, something where, you know, we have a little bit more technology to cover, you know, what these guys can't see or do all the time. And that's right. My answer to that. Okay, so we're running out of time here, so I don't want to go too much more into it. So basically, Troy, the process starts because Department of Player Safety, they have offices in Toronto and New York that they not only watch the games live from state-of-the-art facilities in both places, but they have crews that analyze and review the tapes with a fine-tooth comb. And like I said, if they find something that merits possibly a hearing or supplementary discipline, they're the ones that initiate it. They're the ones that make the phone call. Hey, you got to come in. We need to talk to you. Or, well, they're not gonna come in. Most of the hearings are done by conference call. Here's a giveaway. If you ever hear of the fact that the hearing is live, then you know something absolutely earth-shattering is going to happen. Because if the hearing is live, then you can bet your last money there's going to be some sort of suspension, and it's going to be big. So if you ever hear about that at any time, that the player has to come in live with the hearing with George Parros, who's the head of player safety or whoever, then yeah, that's something to hear out for. So to answer your question, Troy, the process starts by the crews from, and of course the head as well, from Department of Player Safety, watching and reviewing the tapes of the games, and of course as they happen live, and making notes and seeing what merits possibly supplemental discipline. Now, as far as the refs letting things go, well, you know, can't control that. But like I mentioned to Anna just now, there is a structure where the refs are constantly under review, and they are, you know, they are punished with, as it were, with, you know, loss of privileges, and the privileges being the ability to make extra money by working in the postseason, and the recognition that comes with that. So Commissioner Gary Bettman has said more than a few times. So I hope that answers your question, Troy. And but again, I want to say once more, we both appreciate your enthusiasm and the new blood that you've brought to the show. Keep up the good work. Anything else that you want brought up on the show or even privately with either one of us, any questions you have, keep it up. Ask us anytime. Messenger, Facebook Messenger seems to be the best way so far. But going to put out the contact information again now that I'm thinking about it, because we are gaining more fans on this wonderful, wonderful ride that we've been on. So my main point of contact is, well, our main point of contact, of course, is the Facebook room for the show. And that's Power Play Point Podcast, of course, in all caps. My personal contact information, I can be, I'm going to put it out there one more time, mainly my personal email, that's glhallowed@yahoo.com. And I can also be found at Twitter. My handle is BLULINER98. And now everybody knows what the 98 is referencing, because it's been talked about to death. That it's been 20 years, but that's fine by me. So those are two my main points of contact. So, Anna, how can any of our listeners reach you if they want?
Well, there's always the Power Play Point podcast page. There's also, I'm always on Instagram at Aquanox49. No, it's not my age. I'm just a fan of the 49ers. That's for a whole other season. And also on Twitter, I am at anox49. But please, any sort of comments, questions, anything, reach out. Like, we're here. It's awesome. And we, like you said, Gail, we're getting more followers, more, you know, people who are into the podcast. And I absolutely love it. So we appreciate all of you.
Yes, we most certainly do, and I want to say one more time, I hope we can keep this going where, you know, we make it personal because, you know, as Anna and I were kind of talking about that, we want to, you know, a few weeks ago, of course there are the big stars on the team: Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Backstrom, Holtby. They're the guys who get it done on the ice, but on this show, the people that we absolutely love to hear from and want to make the star is you, the loyal Caps fan. And yes, you just heard one earlier in the show, Bernie Deal, and you heard another one remotely, that being Troy. So anytime you guys want to contribute and you want to interject yourselves in the show, however you want, whether it's, you know, it's a... an observation or a question. You heard Bernie, you heard Troy's question. They were both wonderful, wonderful contributions. And, you know, it just adds points to the fact that Caps fans are very knowledgeable. We're not bandwagoners. We're long suffering because we're loyal to this team and we do know our hockey, frankly.
Right. And one of our closest, and, you know, not even, I don't even want to say he's a fan, he is a like a colleague, and we are all on the same page. Chris Levesque, Power Play Point Podcast is so proud of you and your graduation tomorrow with a degree in American history, which, hats off to you. Big golf clap, you know, golf clap all the way around. We are so proud of you. Good, yeah, there you go. Good luck, and thanks for being awesome. And you are, he was there at the last game at the Capital One and took awesome pictures. And I'm so proud. So that, you know, way to go. I hope you enjoy your graduation weekend.
Yes, Chris, do please dine out on that. That's absolutely wonderful. I know how tough it is, what it takes to get a degree in history. All the time you got to log in the research. So I can definitely appreciate that. Couldn't be any proud of you, brother. And you're absolutely representing both with your brains and your commentary and your observation. So again, could not be more effusively prouder of you, and just keep it up, Chris. Keep on improving yourself, because it's only going to pay dividends for you down the road, and we want to see life get better for you as you continue to work hard and provide for you and your family. So I'm running off at the mouth here, I know, but I just that's how proud I am.
It's so great
of him, and it is absolutely great. Okay, just one last point I want to make, because we do care about the Caps fan. The Monumental Sports and Entertainment chairman, of course, the owner of the Capitals, the main owner of the Capitals, Ted Leonsis, pretty much kind of sort of announced there would be a viewing party outside of Capital One for those who couldn't get tickets for Game 3. Here's the downside. It is not only supposed to be pouring down frickin' rain that evening, there is also supposed to be a severe lightning and thunderstorm. While I am not going to discourage anybody who is planning on attending, and I would kind of want to be there myself if my schedule would allow it, but if you intend to go, please take whatever precautions you can to protect yourself. And that's my one and only plea for those who are going to go there. It's a wonderful thing the chairman has decided to do, but unfortunately, neither he nor anyone else can control the weather. So if you do decide to go, again, do whatever's necessary to protect yourself, and just be careful above all else. Anna, did you have any final thoughts?
No.
Okay. So with that, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off. Do apologize that this ran a bit long, but we had a very special guest pop in, and been trying to get Bernie on for a while. So hope you enjoyed his observation. Hope you enjoyed Troy's question. Hope you enjoyed the whole thing. And certainly hope you all are enjoying this ride as it continues. We're going to go for another few games here. We're going to have at least one more show where the Caps are playing live hockey. Loving it. Absolutely loving it. So, again, this is Blue Liner on Point, signing off and reminding you that innuendo is just Italian for where an enema goes. Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.